Welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets podcast. My name is Kurt and with me is...
Chris! I am here.
Now, it's a different style of our podcast we're going to do over the next couple of episodes. Over the Christmas break, we're still going to try and relate it to property, but we're going to actually let the audience get to know us a little bit better with some hard-hitting interview questions, which is... I don't really get nervous, but... Let's say they're a little bit nervous for the effect of the camera, and the same with Chris as well. Chris is here, but he's going to be spitting the questions from behind the camera. If you want to know, it's because we don't have $1 million budget to make this podcast. So it takes time to edit these things. So thank you. Stick around to the end. We've got some really good questions. Also, we don't know what other questions are coming at us.
Some property, some not. But Kurt, sit back and relax, and let's get the show on the road. Back into it. Yep. Well, Kurt, welcome today. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much, Chris. Thank you for having me. It's my apartment, though.
Well, I feel like I'm 60 minutes sort of interview style. A few questions are going to be property related. A few are going to be more just get to know you basis. Beginning one, I want to cast your mind back. Can you describe for us your first family home?
First family home, technically, I actually think I lived right next to the Balmain Leagues Club. So, wow. The first 18 months of my life. So,
do you remember that?
Don't remember it one bit.
Why are we sticking to it? What's the first one that's been the longest serving?
Longest serving, but most memorable, was on the Central Coast, two-story home. It was just the way it was set up, four bedrooms, but it was the rectangle backyard. Cricket soccer oval that we used to call the Lake Memorial Cricket Ground.
Right, okay.
Because my brother and I, 5:30 in the morning, would wake up.
Parents love that.
The part where we were playing cricket, they loved. That was fine. It was when we would wake up at 6 and do racing around, grab a plastic steering wheel and drive around, make a track. And if it was the Formula One Australian Grand Prix, and we're like making the sounds of the gear changes. And like the race is going for like 1 hour and 15. And I think most parents want their kids, they'd rather their kids doing it. But I can imagine, like, you know,
still an annoyance.
As a parent, you like wake up and you're just hearing these. To like, meow.
Yeah.
And so I grew up with three brothers, and probably growing up closest with the one that was a little bit younger than me.
Yep.
We, for example, would also play backyard cricket, would write down all the scores, test matches, flip the, you know, the proper coin toss.
Yeah, nice.
And it wasn't so much about winning, although I did dominate the backyard scene quite a bit. It was about the game and understanding it. Like, often our older and younger brother would want to play and I'd just be doing it to win. It's like, guys, it's not how you do it. Like, yes, I could walk around the backyard of the house as fast as I could and win it or whatever, but it's about the feeling of, like, you're actually in the race.
In the moment.
Which my brother actually always joked. Lap one, for example, I got a bit of oversteer. Once again, I'm walking. And I crashed out on lap one.
Wow. Well, creativity. And what about, is the house still in existence? Do you know?
House is still in existence. It was sold a couple of years ago, which was... I thought I would have been sadder at the time because I'm like, it was one of those ones I remember. Spring would come and just, it was just the way the sun would come into the house. It was the place. It was what I knew. But I think, you know, when the time's right to move on from something. And for us, I'd already moved out. It was only mum living there anymore with one of our dogs. It's just too big for one person. So. Yeah.
So, it kind of related to that Central Coast. So, how did you end up in Sydney, or why did you end up in Sydney?
So, working with children for most of my life. And then I had a partner who was finishing her Bachelor of Architecture degree, and she wanted, I think, more opportunities in Sydney, even though they're very difficult to get into the architecture field.
Yep.
And so, I said, I was trying to make it in the music dream, trying to be the Ed Sheeran. Then a mate of mine said, Kurt...
Got the ginger hair for it.
I was about 25. I was like, Kurt, in 5 years' time, do you really still want to be two part-time jobs and maybe not made it in music? And I was like, you're probably right. And so in conjunction, I was like, what's something I want to do?
Yep.
Real estate ticked most of the boxes.
Yep.
And
started applying for jobs. First job I applied for was in MacArthur, which was about 2.5
That's
hours.
That's not close, but yeah, sure.
I was at Lake Macquarie at the time, if you know where that is, guys. So it was about a 2.5 hour trip every day. And I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. You know, you just got to get in or whatever.
It's just selling yourself.
And then wondered why I didn't get the... I got an interview, wondered why I didn't get the job. And I'm like, that makes sense. Yeah, they're looking at 2.5 hours, even if I say I'm going to move down. But I just kept applying for jobs in Sydney and...
Yeah, and you love Sydney now?
As a coastie, you're like, who the hell would live in Sydney?
Yeah, right.
It generally like, why the hell? And I think once, first 12 to 16 weeks, I drove 2 hours every day to work, 2 hours back, worked late, woke up early and all that. And it wasn't until we made that decision and we were like, you know what, we are renting in Sydney.
Gotta make the move.
But it changed the perspective. It was like, I remember just driving one day, I was like, it's actually not that bad. Traffic, you know, traffic is a little bit annoying, like, you know, if you get the wrong time, but it's also like, it is what it is.
So it sort of balances out in the end. Okay. All right, tell me something exciting you're working on from a work or property standpoint at the moment.
Something exciting working on. Got the goal of, obviously, I want to bring in a set amount of houses for as listings
yep.
for 2025.
Okay.
But I think something exciting is getting the team, because I'm quite technologically advanced compared to some of our other fellas in the company, is working on and continue working on is really getting the data together for our team and really showcasing to the team and getting the team involved with technology more. So they understand, I think sometimes you can focus too much on data, but if the data is also all over the place, it can be quite hard. So this is knowing which owners are living in which property, focusing on core areas and having people set up to those core areas and teaching people how to use the CRM, because our office is quite a unique office where in real estate, we're all focused and happy to work together to share the data.
Yep.
Whereas it's not like that in a lot of other places. It's like, I do know in some places, like if someone sells a property, they won't actually mention to the company that or the team that it's sold for at least 24 hours so they can go and call everyone that they need to call to first. Whereas our company is just like, you know, if you come across someone that's already someone else's contact, you just be like, hey, so-and-so, you might want to reach out to these. I think they're going to sell in 6 or 12
yeah,
months. And it's a really like collaborative thing. So getting the team on board with the data, the CRM system, that's exciting, I think, seeing the team grow.
And so linking onto that in terms of exciting from a work standpoint, what's that exciting in your personal life? From a personal perspective.
Personal perspective? A new one's recently come up, but the one that I've really been working on is building my Danish connection.
Oh, yeah.
So obviously 2016 was an exchange student in Denmark. I still got my Danish family and friends over there.
Yep.
But I also love living in Australia and love the career I'm building here. So, you know, you can't be in two places at once. So it's really building up, trying to get to know more people who are Danish living in Australia, because I just love talking and listening to Danish.
Yep.
It's a weird obsession, as we can see some Danish books down by the side.
Yep.
And I've already started to do that. So it's sort of, I've had to make some steps, take some steps and actions to actually try and make that happen, because there's not that many Danish people in Australia. Like, I'm sure once you find one, you're like, oh, there's lots of people. But when you
get that initial connection,
initial connection, and I've started working towards that.
Yep.
And the new one, which I will say is music. So obviously, singer songwriter, perform, but really.
I like it when you keep saying obviously, but not obviously.
Sorry, I've said it a billion times. So I'm a singer songwriter, but it's more of a hobby.
Yeah.
It would be awesome if it was also kind of a career, making a living off it, but trying to actually put my songs out there to other artists now, for them to take it away instead of me trying to be the Ed Sheeran.
Good. Okay. What's the best piece of advice you've received that, you've actually then used or you implemented or you actually do, okay, keep in mind?
So I'm gonna give two, because there's one that I got given, which when I was younger, it was more to do with music, but it was like, if you could be anywhere in 5 to 10 years time and there was no boundaries, what would you be doing? And that for me was when I was a lot younger, 17, 18, and I was like, I'm gonna chase the music dream.
Yep.
And I did that. Didn't quite work out how I thought it would, but But I genuinely went and chased it. I like put myself out there, even just telling my mum that I'm like, I'm going to do singing now. I'm coming from a sporting background. And I was like, you know, there's like, what's going on here? Is this a fad or something, Kurt? But probably the biggest one, when I was younger, my brother was quite sick with cancer. He's all right now. And going through that journey of, obviously you meet a lot of other people that are sick and people going through similar situations. And I remember going through year 12, so this is almost a decade ago now, and I was just over school. I was like, I didn't want to do it anymore. I wanted to chase the music, doing music. I remember mum sitting with me. I was in her room or whatever, and she's like, Kurt, you just need to keep going. And I was like, I just don't want it. And she's like, do you think Drew and I, Drew being the brother, had a choice? Do you think Drew, while he's laying in bed, you know, sick and all that,
okay.
Do you think we just couldn't be like, oh, it's done, where cancer's, you know, we're not. And from that moment forward, I then got through year 12. Then I was doing another course a little bit later and I just got over it. I'd have no more motivation for it. I realized I'd changed directions and I was going to give up. And then thought back to that moment. I was like, you know what? If I didn't have a choice and I had to get it done. And I thought back to that moment. Mm-hmm. And then now, obviously, in real estate, the same is. It's like, I quite love it, but obviously you come across some challenging things and it's like, just find a way. It's not working out exactly. You know, you've got goals and sometimes you don't, you miss those goals, but instead of giving up, it's like, just find a way.
Find a way to get there.
Yeah.
Okay. You can see, as you said, we're in your place at the moment. A lot of board games around here.
My humble below. Is that humble below?
Humble abode, I think you're
abode.
Why are board games important to you?
It actually goes back to going, so in Australia, because it's sunny all the time, even in winter, we're outside all the time. In Denmark, it's quite cold. You spend most of the year inside. They're really into their board games or sitting around having coffees. And I remember my partner and I, we just started collecting some board games, sort of, you know, as all families do. But then we actually, when we'd have partner friends over, we actually found it was a really good way of just doing something different. Instead of putting on a TV, instead of just drinking ourselves dry, or just getting smashed or whatever, it was a really good way of, the couples may not do board games at home much or whatever, but when they come over, we've got some good team ones where, you know, often my partner and I aren't even on the same team, which
clash.
And it brings out some competitive spirits in a nice, friendly way. And so I think board games, it's that nice way. We've got a couple of favorites that we play. Shout out to partners. It's more a Scandinavian game, but it's wild.
Okay, good.
So it's all board games. Important. Brings out something different and a little bit of fun rivalry.
I like it. All right. Bit of a out there one. If you were rule the world for a day, or you could rule the world, but you could only implement one rule change, law change, legislation change, something that everybody from that day on had to abide by, what would that one change or one rule be?
Courtesy wave.
What's a courtesy wave?
Oh. If someone lets you in, stick the bloody hand up. That should be, honestly, it's
criminal.
It's criminal. I won't say the analogy that I think drivers that don't give a courtesy wave deserve to happen to them.
Right.
I'll keep that one off camera. But I think that should be legislated. If someone has let you in, you give the courtesy wave. You just put your hand up. Just give the acknowledgements. Right. There's different levels.
Does that make the world a better place?
I think it does. I think it makes people a lot less angry on the road. Like, I've had someone sometimes like yeet it in front of me and I'm about to launch. I'm about to hop on the horn and then they give the all the window. I'm like, when someone does the window down, I'm like, and they've given it, I'm like.
What's hard for me is my car's like got branding around it. So people behind me, they can't see my hand inside the car. So I have to actually physically wind the window out, press the window down and put my hand out. So I do make that effort to do so. And I'm like, I hope they appreciate it more because I'm actually like putting doing two or three things, not just putting one hand up. I'm going to wind the window down, put my hand out, wind it back up again.
I think the hand out the window, I used to have in one of my older cars a rain thing. So you could have the window down a bit and it's sleeve. The amount of times, because I'm trying to quickly do it, wind down the window, the old menu, and I go to throw my hand out and it
that.
Cops yep. that. And then it's like a limp hand out the window, being like, "Yeah, thank you." That is what I would implement.
Okay. Okay, you know that I hate surprises. Right? It's one of my pet peeves. Is there something that you think might come up next year or some point that might upset me or frustrate me or take me by surprise? Hasn't happened yet, but is there anything that's come to mind that, might be a surprise somewhere in the future?
Great question, Chris. I like to think I'm always fairly honest, even when I'm late or I don't post a podcast maybe on time and I'm like, my bad. Maybe one day I could just pack up and leave overseas.
Yeah, right. Good Will Hunting style. Just turn up one day and you're just not there.
Just pack up and leave.
Ali might have something to say for that.
Look, yeah, it's actually quite tough. I think it's a great question. I think we've got a pretty open relationship. So I think... Actually, John, I'll do one realistic. Maybe you might turn around and be like, "Kurt, mate, I'm sick of the podcast not getting out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon."
Wait, is that me or you?
You mad at me because
that's not a surprise then. All right, let's crack into some just that's the questions. I really appreciate taking the time. Just three quick cues. These are, I think, hopefully fast. Favorite F1 driver ever, living, dying.
Mark Webber.
Okay. Favorite number?
21.
Okay. And lastly, what present? We're recording this before Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
So this will come out after Christmas. So this is going to be recorded. What present are you hoping for this year?
Money!
Cash.
If I had to give one, some socks.
You're hoping for socks?
Socks.
It's so boring. That's so sad. Well, Kurt, thank you very much.
Go-kart gift voucher. Any audiences out there, send me a go-kart gift voucher.
What's the? We'll finish off there, but any homework for the listeners?
If you could comment YouTube on one of the YouTube episodes, really comment, make sure you like it, but commenting on a YouTube video would be amazing and would be super grateful. Chris, thank you for asking some hard-hitting questions. I try to be as open and as honest as I can.
My turn next week.
Your turn next week.
Beautiful. Well, thanks for dropping by.